Morning and welcome to Oxford Church. Special welcome to Pastor Adrian from the church planting team at the RCA. All are welcome to stay for a coffee after in the hall, and we will have a free will offering at the exit, or you may e-transfer your donation to donations@oxfordchurch.ca. Have a blessed service.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of all the rulers of this earth. Amen. Let us turn in the book of praise, in the Genevan Psalter, to our first song for this morning, and that is Psalm 122. Psalm 122, and we will sing 1 and 2.
Thank you.
As we have come together, let us also and first listen to the holy law of God, which expresses and of course shows and reveals who he is, and in light of who he is, who we are. And we want to read the law from Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And the people's response to these words. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us. You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Let us pray and ask God for his blessings. O Lord, it is a privilege and a grace that we can gather here in this morning hour on a day set aside to worship you, to seek your face, a day set aside upon which we remember the victory in and by your Son, Jesus Christ, who rose the first day of the week, who conquered sin, who conquered death, who conquered the evil one, and in him all those are clean, are perfect, are new, and are free. And also and yet, Lord, we are called to come before you and to be reminded, and as we are this morning again, who you are and who you remain as God, as holy and as righteous and as just. And your law reveals it. It revealed it in the time of old when it was revealed directly spoken to the children of Israel. And in that light, Lord, they saw their darkness. In that holiness, they saw their sin. In that justice, they saw their unrighteousness. Not only that, when they heard your voice, they were afraid. Afraid to come near, for when you would speak out of your holiness and righteousness and justice, what else but they would die? It's in the scriptures. May it also be in our lives, for the first time or anew, that when we hear these words and when you speak to us in your justice, that we come to understand that we need to die. But also that it would bring us again and again to Jesus Christ. For who can stand and say who has not sinned? Only one, and that is Jesus Christ. So bless us, Lord, this morning again as we open your word, as you would speak again to us for the first time or anew by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. O Lord, that it would penetrate our hearts and our lives, and that we would rejoice also and especially in your mercy and grace. Take the hindrances away as they may so easily beset us physically or mentally. You know each and every one of us. So, Lord, all these things are waiting upon your blessings, and therefore we implore that you would be with us. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. I put Psalm 131, but it is 130, so I don't hope. I hope that you don't mind changing. So it's Psalm 130, and we will sing 1, 2, and 3. 130, 1, 2, and 3. Dear congregation, we continue in the book of Acts, and we have come to Acts 2, and we will read 1 through 13, and this morning we will focus on the first 4 verses, even just maybe 3 and 4, and then this afternoon we hope to focus on the rest. Let us read Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." Thus far the reading of God's word. And like I said this morning, we hope to focus with the help of the Holy Spirit on verse 3 and 4. And that's also in the title is actually taken from these verses. And I'll read them again. "And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." Or we can also translate "tongues of fire distributed and resting on each." "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." As we have considered in the past, this was what was promised as the baptism with fire. Baptism by the Holy Spirit was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, even was pronounced and prophesied by John the Baptist. And we read that in Matthew 3, verse 11. "I indeed," and John the Baptist is speaking of himself, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And also the Jews speak of a baptism by fire. They say that the holy blessed God baptizes with fire, and the wise shall understand. Now, it's going to be a little different this morning, maybe, or maybe not. But in the Bible, Jesus often used objects around him to teach people about the kingdom of God and about his kingdom. So when Jesus was by a well, he used water. After he fed 5,000 people, he taught them about the bread of life. So, about bread. When he was on a fishing boat, he said the kingdom was like a fishing net, using the fishing net as example. He told his listeners to consider the lilies, the sparrows, the hairs on their head. Jesus also referred to a fig tree, and maybe you can come up with other examples that Jesus used. A mustard tree, yeast, salt, vineyard, even asking at one point, give me that money, you're talking about taxes, and he showed them about, you know, whose image is on that coin, and he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And he used other things from everyday life to review, especially, of course, and that was about spiritual truth. And this morning, and that's why I say it's going to be a little different, I'm going to use also something. And it's, of course, related to the text. It's tongues of fire. It's an object lesson, and Jesus did it. And even in the New Testament, you see the prophet Agabus also teaching or telling Paul something, taking out his belt and tying it around his hands and feet. And he said, you will be like this when you will go to Jerusalem. So again, it was something that was used not only in the Gospels, but also by the prophets of the New Testament. So, and this is what we have read. So I'm going to turn this on, tongues of fire. Now this is a fire. I hope you can see it. Probably you can imagine it as well if you can't see it. And I'm using this because this is what the scripture says. Tongues as of fire. So they were upon their heads for our imagination, but also children, and they were like this. Of course, it would have been a little bigger because they would not have seen. And on each of the disciples, probably the 120, and that includes the 12 disciples, they received these emblems as of fire. Okay, so imagine them having these tongues of fire, but they weren't real fire. I do ask, however, a question, and maybe that will bring us to 3 points which we will discuss this morning. That these tongues of fire, or as of fire, were a sign of purity, were a sign of purification, and were a sign of power. Okay, so maybe you can remember that as well. Sign of purity, sign of purification, and sign of power. And how is that related to these tongues? The tongues of fire as sign of purity, purification, and of power. Well, imagine, dear congregation, that these fire things that were on their heads as of fire would have been real fire. Well, what would have happened? Children, what do you think happens if you have real fire on your head? Well, your head will, your hair will burn, and if you're not careful, all of you will burn, right? And there, that's really, and I'm going to go a little, therefore, deeper into it, to this first point, the sign of purity. Because really, that should happen. That should happen with you and I. A fire, the fire of wrath upon us. The fire of God upon us, real fire of God, of the wrath of God. And indeed, it would consume us, it would burn us. And why? Well, exactly the reason for which and about which we have read the law this morning. After they heard the Ten Commandments and heard the voice of God speaking, because they heard the voice of God literally speaking, before it was put in Ten Commandments, on two tablets, God spoke it, and they heard the law of God expressing His holiness, His righteousness, and hearing the thundering, and it says the lightening of the mountain, the shaking of the mountain, and what was their response? They were afraid. They were afraid to die. They said, "We speak to you, Moses, because if God would speak to us directly by His Ten Commandments, His Word, we would have to die because we are sinners." And they stood afar off. The light of God would have to and would burn us. The wrath of God would indeed have that consequence, had that result. Not only because we have sinned, we do not obey His commandments, and therefore this fire of God destroys us, would destroy us, should destroy us, but on the other hand, we think we are so smart and so strong, and we think we are able to save our lives, to save ourselves, to be holy ourselves, indeed to be a fire ourselves. We like to steal the fire of God and give it to ourselves. Take the place of God, stealing the fire of God, and becoming God instead. Thinking that we can be righteous, holy, just, and even as powerful as God Himself, as shown by the fire representing God Himself, the presence of God Himself. And because of those two things, because of our sins and of our what you call self-righteousness, wanting to steal the holiness of God, the fire of God, God indeed should destroy us, consume us, because outside, and now I'm coming a little closer to this text, outside of Jesus Christ, God is what? A consuming fire. If I put my finger in this flame, children, there is no doubt that it will burn. And so the Lord should handle with us. We've seen it even from the reading of the law and the response of the people. Do you know this personally? But now, and that's the beauty of these tongues, because these tongues are as of fire. They are not fire. They were in the shape of fire, but they were not fire. In other words, they were not consumed as if of fire. And how is that possible, dear congregation? How is it possible that the presence of God upon the disciples and the people of God did not consume the people of God? Well, and here we go back also to, and that's why it is a sign of purity. Because in the Bible, we read in Luke 12, verse 50, that Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Jesus was born. And when he began his ministry, you remember, we talked about this from the Gospel of John. How did he begin his ministry? By being baptized. Jesus Christ then said to his disciples, I have a baptism to be baptized with. What that baptism at the beginning of his ministry was already talking about is what he would endure when he would suffer and go to the cross. And would die. You see, who took the place of the people of God? Let me say it in the context. Who took the place of those 120 of the disciples of Christ? Jesus Christ. He came into the flesh and he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And he went all the way to the cross. And there, dear congregation, you and I cannot imagine, but out of love, he said, let me carry the sins of all whom I have loved from eternity. And because of those sins, let me also experience the wrath of God, the fire of God. Jesus Christ took the place of his people, his beloved people. And he said, let me be burned under the wrath of my Father, taking the place of his people by his substitution. Yes, there he cried on the cross, O God, why hast thou forsaken? He experienced the eternal wrath of God against the sins against an eternal God. He underwent the judgment. You see. And he also rose again from the dead. This is the baptism that Jesus was baptized with, of substitution, of judgment, of death, but also of resurrection. And the consequences and the gifts because of this baptism, we read about in Romans 4, verse 24 and 25. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. He took our place under the wrath of God. And was raised because of our justification. He was not left in the grave, but was raised by his Father and raised himself so that having undergone the wrath of God in the waters of judgment, under the eternal wrath of God, he would also bring his people through death into a new life under the covering of his righteousness, eternal righteousness, to be created entirely anew and for. And therefore, also in other passages of Scripture, because of this baptism of Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. The condemnation, the wrath of God, has been made peace with by Jesus, reconciled because of Jesus. And then it continues, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Dear congregation, this brings me back to our first point. These tongues as a fire upon the 120, including the 12 disciples, were as of fire. They weren't fire. They were a sign of what? Of the purity of the disciples. For one had gone through the fire of God for them. And now they could and were purified. And therefore it was a benign flame. It was the sign of them having been purified, justified in Jesus Christ. And therefore, the wrath of God was no longer upon them as it had been upon Jesus Christ. And therefore, they had benign tongues as of see, they were his people. They were his disciples. And therefore, tongues as of fire. Sign, our first point, sign of their purity in Jesus Christ. And therefore also indwelled and baptized by the Holy Spirit. Then the sign of purification. Because yes, being baptized by the Holy Spirit and having the sign of purity because of justification, let me say it. It also means something else. And this is the sign of purification. So it's a sign of purity, but it's also a sign of purification. These tongues as of fire. And we read some of this already in the Old Testament. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Dear congregation, when you will and are baptized by the Holy Spirit, given faith to believe in Jesus Christ, so that you would have the tongues as of fire as the sign of your purity in Him, the Holy Spirit will also dwell within you. And what will be your life like? The rest of your life. It will be a life and in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of purification. Or we call that sanctification. The Lord will test you and He will refine you as He refines and we refine gold and silver. You will, because you of your faith in Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will have been brought through and will be brought through many trials and temptations. And this is to purify you, to remove the dross and to make you more and more pure. To make you more and more like gold. That When God looks upon you, because of the Holy Spirit having purified you, and this tongue as a fire being a sign of it, he will see the image of Jesus Christ. And how does this happen? By the way of purification. By the way of dying to the self. And oftentimes this is misunderstood. When we have received the Holy Spirit and for conversion and faith in Jesus Christ and the sign of purity, dear congregation, then your Christian life begins. And it's not for the flesh a way upwards, but for the flesh it's a way downwards. Having once died with Jesus Christ, dying with him again in trials and in temptations. The Lord, he says, you will take up your cross, and I will put that cross upon you, and you will follow it after me. That's the cross of purification. The sign of purification. Until you will be brought home. And that's why this life, in that sense, is a continuous life under the sign of purification. Tongues as of fire. We read it also in Job 23, verse 10. If anybody had been tested and purified in this way as child of God, as a redeemed one of God, it was Job. But he says, but he knows the way that I take. Who knows the way that you take? God. When he has tried me, purified me, I shall come out as gold. This is Job speaking. When you read the story of Job, you go, what a depressing story. Job sees it otherwise. When you have tried me, I shall come out as gold. And not only the Old Testament, dear congregation, but Peter, who was there, who had one of those signs of purification upon his head. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, tested more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter had to experience this. He did experience this. He was tried and tested. But he says, rejoice, because it's the way that God works in the life of his church, and you will come out as gold. You, for your own experiences, you're dross, and you are not gold. But this is how the Lord purifies. And I believe this is what sanctification is, dear congregation. That's what sanctification is, being purified by fire. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 also says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to this, to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, and establish you. After you have been purified, suffered a little while. So a sign of purification. Fire, tongues as of fire. Then our third point, sign of power. So we have sign of purity in Jesus Christ, sign of purification, then also sign of power. Now, when you saw the light, also speaks to us about power. And this brings us to the sun. The sun is fire and light, right? But the sun really is that which gives everything life. That which gives everything power to live. Or we can also say energy. Without the sun, there would be darkness and death. There would be no energy, there would be no life, there would be no power. So it's not only a sign of purity and a sign of purification, but when we will be indwelled and are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, it is also to be empowered, to be driven by the fire of God, the energy of God, not your own energy, but God's energy. God's power, sign of power. Fire is a emblem of power. Now, this power, and that's why it's all connected, dear congregation. The power is, of course, fulfilled in purification. The power of God is fulfilled in weakness. When he purifies us by the fire, he also gives us the power to endure it. In weakness, as dying, yet we live in the power of God. As being burned, yet we go forth in the power of God. That's the way of a Christian. Do you know it? And it's the work of God in the life of a Christian. Power fulfilled in purification. Because of purity. Think about it, dear congregation. Power of God fulfilled by way of purification because of your purity in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit in your life. From the first moment to when you will enter into the presence, the eternal light and life and power of God himself. This is how it is described. Signs as of fire. You say, where do you find this? Well, yes, it is of power. Luke 24:49. Behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, which is Jesus speaking before the event, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Power. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth. This is the moment. Baptized by the Holy Spirit, therefore also empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. In word, not only, but in power. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The sign of power. As if and upon them, as if and likened unto fire. And even within the context itself, and we'll maybe read about it a little later, and again this afternoon, and meditate upon it. But the presence of the baptism, or no, the presence of the Holy Spirit when they were baptized by fire, what does it say in the context? And this again refers to signs of power. So purity, purification, and power. And how do you know it's power? Well, because of these other references in scriptures. But even in the event and during the event itself, what do we read? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This was a powerful wind. A rushing, mighty, powerful wind. And the noise was like the noise of a strong wind. Signs of power. Even noises, as to say, and what it is, the power of God. Here, the Spirit of God is compared to the wind, as the wind is secret and invisible. So the works of the Spirit are secret and invisible unto men, but yet powerful. The noise reminds us of the power and effectiveness of His grace, which is mighty and irresistible. It works with great energy on the minds of men. You see, signs of power. It's irresistible. It's all-powerful. You know why that is such a comfort, dear congregation? Again, the one who is in me is stronger than myself. Boy, thank you, Lord. Because if you would leave me to my own devices and powers and imaginations and me wanting to steal the fire of God for one moment, O Holy Spirit, it would be finished. Done. But He is all powerful. The Holy Spirit carries His children. He leads them by the hands, and I'm so happy He's all-powerful. And therefore I cry in the deepest, the moments of my life, when we understand that we are sinners, but also when we are so weak, maybe depressed and heavy laden, or when we feel the attacks of the evil one so present in our lives, in our minds and in our hearts, then we cry with David, "Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Create in me a clean heart of God, O God, again." David was a child of God, dear congregation. And he relied on the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. "Oh, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me." Is that maybe the cry of your heart? Daily? Because you experience the contrary just the same, sometimes even overwhelmingly more. This is faith. Faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, dear congregation, and then it's so important in terms of also an application. And we will continue this afternoon, but back to the beginning. A sign, the fire, tongues as of fire, sign of purity because of Jesus Christ. Signs of purification This is what will happen and will happen until the end of your life, so that the Lord will present you as a work of His hands, a work of His Holy Spirit, purified by fire. And you know, He will present you as purified as He wants you purified, so that He will see His Son, Jesus Christ, reflected in the gold that you will be. You see? Because when we go across the Jordan of death, He said, come into my house, beloved, because of my Son, because in Him I am well. But He will purify us to see Christ more and more in us. But also the power. And it's not, and I want to say something. I had a discussion with my children who are also here this morning. Welcome. You're going to go back to Quebec. Hopefully in the power of the Spirit for purification. But also for and in the power of the Almighty One. But in terms of application, dear congregation, also in the context and the times of in which we live, there, and we discussed it together, but in our day and age, we are so surrounded, if not conditioned and controlled, more and more by the powers of this world, by science and by technology, by what we now can just reproduce with computers even better than what we could even think of ourselves. And I'm going to use the example we talked about together. I forgot how you say it again. Chat. GPT. I always forget the chat. GTP. And I'm saying this because it's a challenge for pastors and for those who work in the kingdom of God. Really, I could come, and this is going to be, and is so important. I could have come up here this morning. I don't have the app. I don't want the app because it will be too tempting. Okay? What do I mean? I could have said, I want a sermon in the spirit of Luther on Acts 1 through 4. And in a matter of 1 minute, it would have spit it out, I could have printed it out, and I could have presented it here before you. I'm not kidding. We did this with other things. Give me an overview of the thoughts of Jacques Lacan, a psychoanalyst. 10 pages. Accurate as is and can be. This is unheard of. Before, you had to study the scriptures, take the books, write things down, memorize it, or not, just read it. I'm saying for church planters, but also for the church in general, and for the people in the pew, and this is cardinal. What do I mean? And I'm saying it, the Spirit is not in the machine. The redeeming Spirit of purity, of purification, and of power is not in the machine. If we do not and are not endowed by the Holy Spirit, anointed by His presence and Him speaking through us to our listeners, and our listeners also be endowed by the Holy Spirit to receive the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is nothing. We can pretend, and we can pretend even more than ever before in our day and age. But without the Spirit, without the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. This is the, and this is what makes the difference, to be baptized with fire, baptized with the Holy Spirit. If anything and everything, or anything is more necessary, it was never more necessary than it was then. But boy, now in our day and age, the devil can fool you through your pastor. If you don't have the Spirit, and if you don't pray for him, it will be chat, GTP. Still say it wrong. It's not a Holy Spirit word. That's the problem. And so they were. Sign of purity, sign of purification, shine of power at the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what, and we'll talk about it this afternoon, what made it, what made him, them available? How did it enable, and what did them enable to do? See, I can't even speak anymore. To proclaim the gospel. Going back to the tongues, not only in their tongue, but in the tongue or the language of everything and everybody that was present there. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. They were unlettered Galileans. It was impossible for them to speak other tongues. They had not learned it. They had no computer. I'm not going to say the word again because I'm going to say it wrongly. They were empowered and driven by the Holy Spirit, and they could speak in these languages, so that you could hear it in their own voice. We'll speak about it this more, as that is also a sign of a true minister of Jesus Christ. And that's the title for this afternoon. We hear them speak the wonderful works of God. May the Lord bless his own word. The sign of purity, of purification, and of power. As you go on your way, he will guide us and lead us. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. This, we turn at this point to hymn 47. Hymn 47. And it is about the Holy Spirit. You read, we will sing 1 and 2. Hymn 47, 1 and 2. as also said in the Holy Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit inhabits in the praises of his people. And that's how we are also filled with the Holy Spirit, to be guided by the Holy Spirit as we sing the words of the Scriptures and about him and Jesus. Let us call upon God for his blessings. Lord, we bless your name, that you have, because of your eternal love in Jesus Christ, for those whom you have predestinated, you also